Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to share for a couple minutes. Nothing too long or too extravagant, but we want to light these first. Here at the church, we've been going through the Advent over the last couple of weeks. The first week we talked about hope, and then we talked about love, and then we talked about joy, and then this past Sunday we talked about peace. And what all of that means, and a little bit of how we wanted to breathe some life back into those areas of our life and in our families, and so we spent some time on that. But the reality of all of that is the good news. And it's the good news and why we're here this evening and what brings us here. And so I just want to thank you for coming and putting this as a part of your time and a part of your evening. We much appreciate it. And I'm just going to take a couple minutes to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to read to you from Luke chapter 2. It'll be up on the screen there. This is a pretty familiar one we read at Christmas, but I want to read it to you. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel the multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." When we come together this evening, and as we even celebrate tomorrow morning, we are here to celebrate the good news. It's the reason why we come together. And in this room, there's lots of people I know and don't know, and we all come for different reasons and different traditions. But I wanted to start by just celebrating the good news of who Jesus was by reading of his word. It's important for us to know the story of what God is up to, the story of what God is doing. And really, the one thing I love about the Bible is it's not just a guide or a manual for life, and I think there's things in the Bible that definitely apply and help with our life, but ultimately the story of the Bible is about the good news of what God is up to, what God has been doing. And not just in the past, but also in the present and in the future of what God will continue to do, what God is up to. What God is doing right now, even as we sit here and as we sing together and we spend time with one another in our family, it's important for us to remember that the great stories of the Bible is about what God is up to. But more importantly than that is this, is where do you find yourself in the story? Where do we fit into this grand story of the good news that we just read about? You see, people, the good news is found when our lives intersect with what God is doing. When our lives cross paths with God's life and with God's plan. And as we were looking and reading in there in verse 10, it talks about this idea of the good news. And as you think about that word and that phrase, what is very interesting is in the Old Testament, we hear that word used quite regularly. It was often used when people would go into battle. When people would go into war, naturally, whenever there was a battle, whenever there was a war, you naturally have a winner and a loser. And so what they would do, and the question that we'd always wrestle with is which one are we? The people didn't know, did we win, didn't we lose? Because a lot of the battles were fought far away. As I was thinking about it this week, we live in a time and day where we have instant answers of that. I can still remember Desert Storm, the Gulf War in the early 90s. Some of you, this will date us, and some of you will remember it, but it was on TV. I remember the night sitting at my friend's house. We were only teenagers, but we were just enthralled what was going on TV. There was a war going on TV, and we could watch it. But in the Old Testament, they didn't have that, so what would happen is they would often use someone to communicate what was going on. They needed someone who could be the messenger. And so what they would usually do is they would send a messenger up to the battle and to the front line to find out, you know, did we win or did we lose? Because it's kind of good to know. If you're the nation that lost, you're about to become enslaved. You probably would like to know that before it all happens. And so they would send a messenger. They would get what they were hoping was good news, that we won, and the messenger would then run back to these various cities and nations and share the good news. But in there's a fun fact. If you want to know how marathons got started, it was with messengers bringing good news to nations because they learned to run really fast to bring the good news, hopefully back to their country of origin. And so if you were the country and you heard that good news, for you it was a world-changing news. And we still have things even in our life and our world today that is world-changing news. I can still remember where I was when 9/11 occurred. Where were you when the news of that happened? Some of you would remember, some of you don't. We would look at that as a world-changing event. How about the first man on the moon? Again, some of you would remember that. Where were you when you heard about that? That was a life-changing event, a world-changing event. You see, when you're reading the Old Testament, you see that good news was everywhere. And the good news was always what God was doing, what God was up to. But then something interesting happens in the Old Testament. And this is a little bit of church history, but in your Bible, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, and in between there's a gap. And the Bible tells us that in the middle there was 400 years of silence, where there was no good news. In fact, there was no news at all. The prophets weren't hearing anything. Nothing was being said by God. People were wondering what was going on. They were constantly waiting for good news to see what God was going to do. And then one day an angel appears to a man named Zechariah. It says that he was terrified and afraid, and the angel spoke to him and revealed to him good news about what was to come. Good news about a son that he was going to have called John, who was also going to point further to the good news to a son that was about to be born to Mary and Joseph. 400 years of silence, and then the good news arrives. And so this angel, this messenger, comes with the good news both to Zechariah and to Joseph, but also good news for all of us who sit here today. Because this angel told Joseph that you are going to have a son. You are to name him Jesus, and when he becomes a man, he will go and he will die for the sins of the world. And we know following the life of Jesus, we see that he often did very many different things, and I want to read to you some of the stuff that he read. It's going to be in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, in fact, is going to read and talk, but he's also going to point to some of the Old Testament of the good news as well. Luke 4, verses 16 through 19. And when he came to Nazareth, we'd been brought up, and it was the custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And these were Jesus' words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim what? Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so if you imagine Jesus is standing before a congregation and he finds this spot in the New Testament to remind the people of the good news, to tell them what he was supposed to be. And so this quote, as I mentioned, is from Isaiah 61, and he reads the good news really about himself, that he was the one who was going to come and bring the good news to people. And not just that, but the good news that Jesus was here to help. It says that he helped the poor, those that are destitute, those of us who are maybe even poor in spirit, maybe for some of us are just miserable or afflicted with life. For those of us who maybe have no hope, it says that Jesus, the good news is that he came for you. It says that he also came for the captives. Maybe the good news is that Jesus came for those of us who are enslaved to our sin or caught in some sort of an addiction of life. Maybe caught in slavery to our life or to our job. The good news is that Jesus came. Jesus also came for the blind. for those who can't see, for those of us who are maybe wandering around in the dark, wondering what this life is for, wondering what this life is all about. For the lives that maybe feel, as we've been talking over the last couple weeks at the church, where life feels like this black hole which is devoid of light. Jesus came for those that were afraid and those that were lonely. It says that he also came for the oppressed, those that are of you that are in trouble, those of us that are in need, those of us that feel the weight of the world. You see, people, the good news is that Jesus came for you and I. And I want the words of that to ring true in your ear today. It was no different in the Old Testament. They would send a messenger to bring good news. Let the words that we sing today, let the words that you're hearing come out of my mouth be good news for you. Because the good news of Jesus and his birth, and the good news that he died on the cross for my sin and yours. He died for the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. Jesus, people, is the good news, and he cares for you. And that's the message we want you to hear this evening. And maybe some of you sit here tonight and you already know that good news. You've already heard and you've accepted the good news, and you're like me. You're supposed to then be the messenger of that good news. In fact, the Bible says that that's our mission, that's our calling. That is our place in the story of God, to deliver that message every single Christmas. And this is why Christmas, people, is about the good news, because we are the messengers of the good news. And maybe even for some of you this evening, you sit here and you maybe didn't understand, maybe that's what it was about. I didn't really know. I do Christmas, it's part of our tradition, and we go to church and we enjoy that, and let me say how glad we are that you are here, but did you know that there was good news for you as well? I think what happens for many of us at Christmas is, sadly, the good news often gets drowned out by bad news. The good news gets drowned out by the family struggles. The good news can get drowned out by the financial or our jobs or whatever else is on the horizon of our life. But maybe this year, for some of us, we need to accept and receive the good news. To really process what that means, to maybe see, where do I stand in God's story? Because the truth is that God is alive and still at work. He is at work even here this evening. The story is not done. The story is not finished. The story is not over. My story is not over. My hope is your story is not over. The story of this church is not over. Because our God is still writing it with us. He's still working with the church. He's still writing the future with you and I. And so this year, I'm calling all of us to join together in spreading the good news. Because the reality, and you know this, is that good news spreads. Right? Good news spreads quickly, and we live in a day and age with all of the technology. We should be able to spread good news faster than ever. Good news should travel far and wide. What is interesting is, if you read in Luke here and continue on, when Jesus read these scrolls, good news began to travel far and wide. No technology was helping it move. But we know the word traveled very quickly. And soon thousands and thousands and thousands of people were following Jesus everywhere he went, so that they could hear the good news. We're in a day and a time where we could really use some good news. We don't hear it much on the TV. We don't hear it much on the things that we watch or even the things that we read. We maybe don't even hear it from governments, wherever we are on all that situation. Maybe it's the economy. All we hear is negative news. But the truth is we need good news. We all need the good news of who Jesus is. And we need good news in a world that is often so full of bad news. And so this year, I want to encourage you to be a messenger of that good news. To be a messenger of good news to maybe somebody new in your life this year. to own your spot in God's story, to be a messenger from God, to bring the good news of great joy. Is there room in your heart for God to write his story on it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, I thank you for your short word to us this evening as you remind us of the good news of who you are. And Lord Jesus, as we go from this place and we celebrate with our family and our friends, I pray that we would bring good news to the people we love. That we would bring good news maybe to some neighbors and some friends who just need some encouragement. Lord Jesus, maybe just good news is what I need to share with my spouse, share with my children, my grandchildren. Lord Jesus, I pray for us as a church and as a church family here that we would spread the good news of your name throughout this city and out this community. And we pray these things in Jesus' great and holy name. Amen.
Room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
If you'd please stand with us tonight, we're going to close with, for many, is a long-standing tradition of singing Silent Night. So please stand and join us as we sing together the great old song, Silent Night. Thank you all for coming this evening and giving of your time. And we very much love and appreciate all of you. Have a wonderful Christmas with your family and your friends.